Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently with Pastor Nate in the book of Proverbs, learning about what it really looks like to be wise. Feel free to pick up your Bible and follow along with us.
And tonight we're going to talk about our role in getting wisdom. And I've called this message real simple, get wisdom. And we're going to sort of see how we do that. Proverbs chapter 4 tonight, if you're there, say I'm there. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning, we're going to begin in verse 20. It says this, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you." How do you look with your eyelids? I have no idea. "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Now, earlier in this chapter, Solomon said this. Jump up to verse 7. He said, "Wisdom is the principal thing." He says, "Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." I like that verse. "In all you're getting, get understanding." He says, wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, wisdom is the main thing, so therefore, get wisdom. But Solomon is showing us that for all the wisdom that's available, no one can make you take it or use it. Wisdom is available, but no one can make you apply it to your life. And so he wants us to get wisdom, and he wants us to allow wisdom to affect us on the deepest level. Three times in this chapter, he mentions the heart. There's three times he brings up this idea of wisdom, and he brings up the idea of our hearts. And much like today, the heart was thought to be sort of the epicenter of life. The word heart, when he says heart, he's talking about all of man's inner person. He's not just speaking about like the beating thing that's in your chest that we sort of draw kind of funny, but in reality, it's kind of like a funny shape like potato or something. I don't know. Anyways, the heart, he's not talking about what the organ that's beating in our chest. He's talking about the inner person. And when he says heart, it actually would sum up in this ancient writing, it would talk about the soul, the mind, and the emotions. So when he says your heart, he's talking about your soul, he's talking about your mind, and he's talking about your emotions, your feelings. And he instructs us to allow God's word and God's ways to get into our hearts and affect all of these areas. Look there at verse 4 in the same chapter. He says, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live." He says, let or allow your heart to retain my words. The idea is that we must allow godly wisdom into the deepest part of who we are. He's talking about the heart. And when he says this, he's not just talking about the thing in our chest. He's talking about our soul. He's talking about our emotions. He's talking about our mind. Everything that makes you, you. All the inside parts of you that makes you, you. The way you feel, your drives, your ambitions, your goals, how you think. All of those things. He says your heart. He says let God's word, let godly wisdom affect you on the deepest part of who you are. He says, let God's word, let God's ways, they're not just to be on the surface of our lives, but they should affect every part of who we are. I think for many of us, God's word or being a Christian or the things of God is on the surface of who we are. Like we're Christians, but it's more of like an about me on Facebook than it is actually who I am in real life. Like, I'm Christian because, well, I'm from Florida, and that's kind of what people do. Or I'm Christian because I inherited. My parents were Christian, and so I'm Christian. You'll meet a lot of people. Like, they'll be like, "Hey, do you go to church?" "Oh, of course." Or "Do you want to come to church with me?" "Oh, I'm Catholic." And you're like, "Okay, it's great. Let's go to church." Like, it's like it's a thing. Like you ask them, and sometimes like religion or Christianity or things like that are more of like a description than it is an actual characteristic that makes us who we are. And so he says, let God's word and let God's ways break past the surface of your life and affect you on the deepest part of who you are. We must allow God's word to take root deep in our lives, because then we'll be able to experience what God has for us. And so Solomon shows us that we need what we need to do in order to get that type of wisdom into our lives. He says, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. You got to understand how important godly wisdom is. But there's things that we have to do in order to get that wisdom. I think so far in this series, we've primarily looked at the importance of wisdom. And I think this is week four. We kind of get like, okay, yeah, we understand wisdom is important. But what does that wisdom look like? What is godly wisdom? What does that mean on a regular event? How does that look on a regular evening? What is that godly wisdom actually lived out in my life? And tonight we're going to see some practical ways to get wisdom into our lives, because we want it to affect us on the deepest part of who we are. It's not just to be on the surface. Christianity isn't just a surface. It's not just a thing that's in your bio. It's not just a thing that you say as an excuse to not do things. It's not just Christianity is who we are. When we follow Jesus, when we've placed faith in Jesus Christ, we become on the deepest part of who we are, followers of Jesus. And so how do we allow that to affect our lives, and how do we get the wisdom God wants us to have? Number one, he says, keep your heart. One of the things we must do in order to get wisdom is learn to keep, he says, our hearts. The heart has a ton of control over our decision and our direction, especially when the heart's defined as mind, soul, and emotion, right? Like if that's the summary of the heart, then it kind of controls everything. So we have people that allow their mind to control their decisions and their actions. Everything is calculated. Everything is logical. Everything that they do is controlled and determined by their mind. And you got people like that. The problem with that is a lot of times logic often overrules love when you meet people like that. This is logical, therefore I must do it. And what happens is they trample over people and they don't consider feelings and emotions of other people. And as a result, logic can take the place of love, and you have people that aren't very considerate of other people. But you've got some people that everywhere they go, it's all about the mind. How is this going to make me smarter? How is this going to make me more money? How is this going to make me feel this way? And everything is calculated by the mind. You have others that follow their soul or their spirit, and they just kind of go wherever the wind blows. Whatever happens, I'm just kind of floating through life, and wherever I end up, I end up, which is great, and it's also dangerous. Some people, that's just, everything is just, I'm just kind of going with the flow, whatever. There's no plan, there's no direction, there's no thought. And as a result, you can find yourself in situations that you shouldn't be in. And then others follow their emotion. However they feel, or however they think they should feel, that's what drives them. And all of these things are fighting for control in our lives. All of us have the heart, that is our emotions, our soul, our mind, fighting for control over our lives, telling us you should go here because it's logical, or you should go here because it seems fun, or you should go here because this is how you'll feel and this is what's going to make you feel better. All of these things are fighting for control. The problem with following your heart is at the end of the day, the heart has misguided motives. The heart, when we follow our heart, when we follow our soul, our mind, or our emotions, it seems like it's looking out for our best intentions, but the reality is the heart has misguided motives. We think that our heart will never lead us astray, or our heart will never end up take us to a place we don't want to be, but the reality is if you follow your heart, it will definitely lead you astray. Why? Because the heart doesn't know what it wants. Why? Because the heart, the Bible says, is evil. Listen to this, Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? How are you going to follow your heart? You can't know your heart. You don't know what you want. It seems good. It seems right. But at the end of the day, our heart, because we're sinful, because we have a sinful nature, it's taking us places. It's leading us places that seem good. It seem like it's going to be exciting or feel good or be fun or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's motives are misguided. The heart's deceitful. You can't know it. And so what the writer tells us is to keep our hearts. In other words, we must guard our hearts and what we allow in and what we allow out. He says, out of the heart flow the issues of life. It's a funny, we think that it's on the outside that the issues of life are found. That it's through bad situations or bad friends or bad whatever, that's where the issues of life are from. And he says, no, it's from the heart that the issues of life come. Because the heart leads you into places and situations and circumstances and decisions that ultimately bring about these issues. And so he tells us to keep a heart. Literally the words that he used there when he says, keep your heart with all diligence, it means to guard your heart like a prison guard over a criminal. That's literally the idea that he paints here. In the original language, he says, you got to guard your heart like it's a criminal trying to escape. You got to make sure that it can't get loose. You got to make sure that your heart can't just do whatever it wants, go wherever it wants, and control how you live. He says, you got to guard that thing like a prison guard over a criminal. That means we aren't going to allow our heart to control us, but instead we will control our hearts. And we do that by allowing God's word to take root deep within our heart. The Bible says that we should stamp his word on our heart. That we should make sure that God's word has such a deep impact on our lives that it's not just a surface thing like, yeah, I can memorize a verse and yeah, I can quote scripture. Or, yeah, I understand this. But in reality, it's actually going so deep into our lives that it becomes a part of who we are. That God's word must take root deep in our lives if we're going to keep our heart. I think this verse also, sort of as a side note and different application, is that this is a great verse when it comes to relationships. I think we're too quick to give our heart to people. But we can't allow ourselves to fall for every single person we meet. It's important to keep your heart for the right person. Guard your heart. And as you follow Jesus, first, that will be revealed. Who that person is and how that's going to work out. But we need to guard our heart. Meaning, yeah, there's romantic relationship. There's things going. But I'm going to make sure that I don't give myself away too quickly. Because I don't want things to go. I don't want to be broken. I don't want to be hurt. Or I don't want to give something to somebody that didn't belong to them. And so he says, guard, keep your heart. So as we go and get wisdom and as we want to arrive where God wants us to be at, we need to understand the importance of keeping your heart. Secondly, he says, put away a deceitful mouth. Put away. He talks about the heart and then he changes his attention to the mouth. Second, in order to get wisdom, we got to watch what we say. And godly wisdom will help you govern what you say. The idea of deceitful mouth is a distortion or crookedness. In what you say, a distortion or crookedness. It's to say false things about someone or to someone. Man, we're good at talking bad about people. I feel like it's like not even second nature, it's just natural. Like it's like dead space in a conversation is perfect segue for me to talk negative about so-and-so. It's like the natural thing that we go to. It's just for whatever reason, it just comes up and it's always there. And it's so easy to just speak negative about people, especially if they're not in the room. And we find any excuse to talk about people. Listen, we need to make sure he says, I lost my place. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Don't even let that be a part of who you are. Put it away. You don't need to talk bad about people. You don't need to bring that up. You don't need to talk. Let it be silent. Let it be awkward. Just enjoy the awkwardness for a moment. Like when that time where like everyone's trying to think of, weather outside, am I right? Like, yep, it's weather. All right, anyways. Like, it's fine if there's a moment where people aren't saying anything because it's way better than bringing up so-and-so or this and that or the other. He says, put that far away from you. And then he also tells us to get rid of perverse lips, which be words or conversation that's inappropriate. Whether it's cursing or talking about things that are inappropriate, he says, we must put those things away and put these things far from us. The idea is that we have to keep these things far from us on purpose. That we've actually got to decide that, do you know, I'm not going to allow these types of conversations to come up. Do you know, I'm not going to allow myself to say these words or to say, to talk about this thing or to be a part of these types of conversation on purpose. I'm going to make sure that I stay away from that. And we do that, again, by allowing God's word to take root in our hearts. Because God's word will change the way we view people and ultimately what we say about them. When you understand God's view towards humanity and God's view towards people, all of a sudden it changes your view on people a little bit. So you're telling me that God loved this person so much that he literally left heaven and came to earth and died on the cross for their sins and has now made a way for them to have a right relationship with God, and he's got a plan and purpose for them all of life, and he wants to bring them into paradise, into heaven, where he's got a mansion and plans and crowns and all these things for them? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so maybe I shouldn't talk bad about him. You're saying that God's on that person's side? Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be against them, because if God is for them, who can be against them? Maybe you shouldn't find yourself going against God on this one when you're talking about his child and you're talking about the person he loves. It's important that we recognize that, because when we see how God views people and we see that when we read his word and we apply it to our lives, when we see that, it changes how we see people. He says, put that stuff far from you. That doesn't need to mark your life. Allow God's word to get so deep into your life that these things begin to get pushed out. Don't be so quick to just say things. I think one of the big lessons you learn from the book of Proverbs is the importance of thinking before you speak. I think one, it's kind of helped, I think, in some ways, the fact that we get to text people, and that I think for many of us, like, we feel more comfortable texting than we do. Like, if I were to call you, you'd be like, whoa, like, what's happening? But part of that, hopefully, it allows us to, like, read the words we're going to say and then say, like, man, that is terrible, and then delete it before we send it. Like, hopefully it helps us to do that. Some of us, it doesn't, because you can't actually see the person. You can't actually look them in the eyes before you say the horrible thing that you're about to say. So it's way easier to write a comment or to DM them or to send that text, because you're not actually looking in their eyes and having to have a conversation with them. But hopefully it'll help us to think about what we're saying before we say it. And that's a huge principle in the book of Proverbs, where he's just like, man, just slow down, time out, think about it before you say that. Before you talk about this person, before you say those words, before you bring this up, like, just think, then speak. Just think about it. Like, man, is this glorifying God? Is this building somebody up? Is this showing them how appreciated and loved they are? Because there's power in our words. Words aren't just words. They don't just, like, mean nothing. Words produce action. Words produce thoughts and emotion. Words have power. Words carry weight. So make sure that what you say builds people up and doesn't break people down. And he says, when you're trying to get wisdom, how do you get wisdom? Well, first, you got to guard your heart. You can't just let anything in there, and you can't just let anything come out of there. And also, you need to make sure that you put anything negative, anything wicked, anything perverse far from your mouth, because that is not a characteristic of a child of God. Point number three, last one, and I'm done. Y'all still with me? Yeah. All right, let your eyes look ahead. First, he talks about the heart, then he talks about the mouth, and then he brings up the eyes. He says to keep our eyes focused straight ahead. Part of the difficulty with following God and seeking to get godly wisdom is we tend to get distracted with the things around us. We may start off strong, but we get caught up in other things. I see people all the time that start following God and are focused on serving him and doing what he wants, and then over time, they stop. And for the most part, it's not just a decision one day where they're just like, I'm good now. Like, I walked with God long enough. Like, I made it this far, made it through high school, or I got to college, or whatever it was. Like, I made it this far, like, I'm good. Thanks, God, for getting me here. I'll see you whenever. It's rarely like that. Usually, what is it? It's this relationship, or it's this activity, or it's this dream, or it's this hobby, or it's this thing. And then all of a sudden, over time, they sort of get their eyes off of God onto other things, and then their bodies follow their eyes. that they're looking over here, and so they end up over there. They're focused on this, and so they end up over there. That's just kind of what happens. You get your eyes off of God on the other things, and pretty soon your actions and your feelings and your ambitions and your dreams all sort of follow your eyes. They get their eyes off of the goal and onto other things, and pretty soon their bodies follow their eyes. So Solomon says, you want to get wisdom? Keep your focus on the right things. Keep your eyes looking straight ahead and focus on what's in front of you. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in the things around you. Jesus told a story of the Word of God and the plans of God being like a farmer planting seeds. It's a really famous story that Jesus told. And he said that there was a farmer, he was planting seeds, and as he was planting seeds, that some of the seeds fell by the wayside, he said, which would have been just out in the open. And he says, birds came and they plucked those seeds up, they ate them, and they were never able to grow into anything. He said, there was another sort of batch of seeds that landed on stony ground. And he said that it was able to spring up really quick, but because there was no depth, it was scorched by the heat. As soon as something difficult came, the plant withered. And there was a third sort of cluster of seeds that landed on what was called like thorny ground. And this thorny ground, it produces, but then as it grew, the thorns came in and choked out the plant. I'm losing my train of thought. I'm sorry. And then some on good soil. And the good soil produced fruit, some 5, 10, 50, 100 fold. And after this, his disciples were kind of confused, which usually happened after Jesus taught. They're like, that was a good story, but what the heck were you talking about? Like plants and thorns and what's happening? And Jesus is like, are you serious? All right, let's talk about this. And this is what he said specifically about the thorny ground, Matthew 13. Jesus speaking to them, he says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He says that there are these people that they heard the word of God, and at first they were excited about it. They began to grow with it. And then he says that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. They heard the word of God. They started to follow him, but they got distracted. Some by the cares of the world, meaning they just got caught up in other things. Other things became the priority. It was the cares of the world. It was just, this is what I'm doing, this is where I'm going, and this is the most important because it's right in front of me. And then he says, others got caught up in the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, they thought other things were a better goal. They thought man, following God seems good, but this is more rewarding. This is a better goal. And he says the deceitfulness of riches, because it seems good, but it's not good. It seems exciting, but it's not going to last. And he says there's deceit then. And so they thought other things were a better goal. Solomon, it said in our text, that we need to ponder the path of our feet. In other words, the key to actually arriving at wisdom and where God wants you to go is looking at where the road you are on will lead you. Do these activities and goals and desires lead me to the plans, purposes, and blessing of God, or does it lead it to other things? He said, there's a goal that we have, and he said, wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, he's saying, following God and doing what God wants you to do, that's the main thing. Make sure you get there. But then what happens is as we go, we either forget to keep our heart, and so we get caught up in just following our own emotions and feelings and thoughts, and so we get off track, or we just start doing things we shouldn't be doing and saying stuff and going places, or we just kind of veer off a little bit. We just get distracted. We get caught up in looking at other things and wanting other things and believing in other things, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves not arriving where God wants us to arrive. And so he says, you need to ponder the path that you're on. In other words, where is this road taking you? When you get on, if you drive and you get on whatever the 95 or Route 60 or whatever, you're thinking about where this road's going to take me. Nothing about, I just feel like driving on this road and we'll just kind of see what happens. No, I'm getting on this road because this road is going to lead me in the direction that I want to go to. When you look at the result, you can follow what God has. Jesus said there's only two roads on planet Earth. Two roads. He said it like this, Matthew 7, verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. And then he says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. He said, there's two roads. One leads to destruction, one leads to life. One's easy, one's wide, one everybody's going on. The other one, it's difficult, it's hard to navigate, it's hard to get through. He says there's two roads, one towards God and his blessing, and one away from it. Keep your eyes on the right things so you can end up in the right place.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We pray that this message has brought you closer in your relationship with Christ. And if you have any questions or would like to listen to more Pastor Nate, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com.